Well, this morning we're in Ephesians chapter 1. The title of the message is Packed and Ready to Go. Not away from your spouse, not away from your home, but packed and ready to go into the battle. We are in the midst of a spiritual battle every single day. We're in the midst of a battle not just for abortion rights, not just for our political view, not just for our ways of life, but a spiritual battle as we partner together for the work of the gospel. We're in a spiritual battle because the enemy doesn't want us to preach the gospel. He doesn't want Christians to be equipped and packed and ready to go and ready to use the armor of God. But as we've seen in Ephesians, and we'll see it even more clearly in the book, in chapter 6, where it says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So it's not against Democrats or Republicans, pro-abortion, pro-life. It's a spiritual battle that Satan, as it says in John chapter 10, is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is his movida, if you want to call it that. This is his way of doing things. He wants to tear down and rip apart and cause us to be fearful, intimidated. That's why the scriptures tell us that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, you and I have no problem when the lion is roaring when he's behind the gate, right? But if you were at the zoo and the lion got out and that roar got louder and louder, you'd be scared. Well, see, that's what Satan tries to do. He wants to intimidate. He wants to cause us to be fearful. He wants us to go into hiding. And, you know, whether or not persecution comes to our country, it's not a time to hide. It's time to be strategic. It's time to be prayerful. It's time to work for the glory of God. So are you packed and ready to go wherever God calls you? And you know what? He may not call you to a place around the world. He may just call you to minister to your spouse. He's calling you to minister to your children, to your grandchildren. He's calling you to minister to that cranky neighbor of yours. And if you don't have a cranky neighbor, it's probably you, the cranky one in the neighborhood. So let God do his work. Are you packed and ready to go? You know, if you were in the military, you would know how to pack a pack. And you were going out on maneuvers or out in the field or out in the battle. There's some things that you won't carry with you because you need to be light and prepared with everything you need. You're only going to carry stuff you need when you go out if you've been in the military. And so God has given us so that we would be equipped and prepared. Because he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that his word is inspired, his word is God-breathed, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, that the man or woman of God, would be equipped, ready for every good work. Friends, and the word of God enables us not just to be on the defense, but to be on the offense by doing those good works which bring glory to God, which bring the gospel understanding to men and women. And that's who we are, and that's what we're supposed to be about. That's what the church is about. And we have a lot of things that sidetrack us, but friends, the gospel is the main thing. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to live the gospel. We're here to encourage the gospel. We're here to partner together with one another. So are you packed and ready to go? So we want to see three things here. But you say, you know, who am I? What kind of an impact can I have? You know, I was born in East L.A. or Fresno or Pico Rivera. Who am I? You know, I barely made it out of high school. I barely made it out of continuation. I barely skated through. You know, I don't have a high-powered position. I'm not a St. Paul when it comes to my faith. You know, I'm not Daniel who was getting ready to throw him in the lion's den just because he prayed. You know, I'm not that person. Some of you know the name William Randolph Hearst. He's the guy from Hearst Castle. He once read of an extremely valuable piece of art, which he decided he must add to his extensive collection. He instructed his agent to scour the galleries of the world to find the masterpiece he was determined to have at any price. After months of painstaking search, the agent reported that the piece already belonged to Mr. Hearst and had been stored in one of his warehouses for many years. And friends, so it is with us. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's given to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. But too often they lay forgotten in the warehouse of our heart. Friends, we need to open those doors and see how God has provided and ask Him for help in pulling them out and using every blessing He has provided. The strength, the love, the mercy, the compassion, the boldness, the courage, and on the list goes. So whatever we are, whatever excuses we're making, whatever struggles we're having, God has already provided the remedy. And it's for you and I to know that, you and I to grab hold of that, you and I to search the scriptures and to recognize and realize, hey, that's mine. I can do this. We were just talking in the side room before we prayed about preaching and how to get to improve your preaching style. And there's always room for me to improve. Sarah recollected when I first started. Man, it was horrible. I'm glad there's no tapes that exist of those days. But, you know, again, I'm here. I'm up front in front of people only because of God. By the grace of God, I'm here. Because otherwise, I'd be sitting in the back row, scared beyond belief to get up in front of people. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Let me read them to you. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This morning, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and knowledge, that you would give us open eyes that we might see, Father, that you would give us confidence and awareness and recognition that you have given us of all things pertaining to life and godliness. That, Father, we are not alone in this spiritual battle, but that you are with us, and you have sealed us with your Holy Spirit of promise, and that, Father, we are secure in Christ. Help us to walk forward. Help us to be ready for the battle. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to kind of go back and forth. I want to focus on what is happening with the Ephesians, but then again, I want to focus on Paul's heart, and then again, to his prayer. So the first thing is, true faith impacts people's lives. Okay? True faith impacts people's lives. Again, if you have faith in Christ, you're saved. But the faith that we're talking about is a faith that applies the Word of God, the faith that lives out God's Word. Because he says here, for this reason too. Now, where is Paul when he's writing this? Paul's in prison. Paul's a distance away. But listen to what's going on. He's in prison, and he says this, for this reason, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you. The word had gotten out. This faith had gone out. This faith had made an impact. This faith was being promoted because people would come and visit him. Man, I was at the Ephesian church. Man, those people are godly people. Man, they're people of prayer. They're on their knees. They're generous. They're loving. They're caring. They are not the Ephesians of Revelation 2 who had lost their first love. These people were still in love with their Jesus. They were still in love with their God. They were still in love with the work that God had called them to. He says, for this reason too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. He's not just simply saying, oh, you have faith. You have all your Bible verses memorized. You have all the books of the Bible under your belt. You can search out a scripture and find it. You can just blurt out all these trivia question answer, you know, trivia. You can answer all these trivia questions on Bible trivia or Bible pursuit or whatever it is called. No, friends. It's a faith, it's a belief, it's a confidence, an assurance that I stand here and I stand in the presence of God with the power of God because I have the abiding Holy Spirit in me. But this love, this faith is not just simply words. Oh, I go to church and oh, I got a Bible. Oh, I got commentaries. Oh, you know, I throw some stuff in the offering tray. No, friends. Notice what he connects with this faith. How is their faith demonstrated or observable? Because of their love for the saints. Because the Bible tells us simply that the greatest commandment of all is to do what? To love God, all our heart,
all our soul and all our mind.
And the second is like it. Love thy neighbor as thyself.
The summary of the Ten Commandments then falls into this. Love God, love one another. That's the summary of the Ten Commandments. Love God, love one another. And he's saying here, the testimony of your faith has traveled. Prison bars didn't hold it back. Prison walls didn't hold it back. The glory of your faith that's shown in your love for the saints. Friends, when people walk in these doors, do they know that we love each other? When they hear about love and seeing in action, do they know that we're a family of love? Do they? I hope so. I hope it's not just because we serve a good breakfast on Sundays. I hope it's not just because we have a great worship team. I pray we will be known by our love. A love that is a response, not just a response of faith, but an action of faith. Faith is not a concept. Faith is not a word. Faith is a reality that you and I must continue on. So if you say you have faith, show me it. If you have faith, like the state of Missouri is a show me state. You can talk all you want. Show me. Now, friends, a lot of Christians, we talk a lot, don't we? We talk a lot about what we do and what we've done and where we've been and what we have. But, friends, are we talking about Jesus? I heard Alistair Begg. He comes on the radio, KKLA, at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. You have to get past his accent. Once you get past his accent, you'll love him. But he said this. A lot of people, when you hear them talking, they talk a lot about their church and about how great their church is and what their church does and the activities and all these things. But rarely do you hear them talking about Christ. Friends, I hope you talk about our church in the positive. And I hope you are proud or excited to be here in Pico Rivera Bible Church. But friends, let's not forget, we talk about Christ. We talk about Him. Again, I saw a meme some years ago. I've shared it with you. A lot of parents raise their kids in church, but do they raise them in Christ? That's important. Faith in the Lord is not... Some people will say, you have to have faith. Friends, it's not faith that wins. It's faith in Christ that wins. I shared with you a story of one of the ladies I used to work with, very devout Roman Catholic. And out in Highland Park, there was what they were claiming was an apparition or an appearance of Jesus. Somehow the light came through the woman's bathroom window, and on the wall came a figure that looked like Jesus. And so it gained a lot of attention. The local priest came. The local Catholic priest came and looked and said, it's just light coming through your window. That's not an appearance of Jesus. Kind of busted the woman's bubble, right? But my friend said, no, all you got to do is believe. And you know what? We hear that among Christian preachers today. Believe, have faith. If you don't have faith, like the one preacher who told the woman who was pregnant, you're going to have a boy. And then when the baby was born, it was a girl. And you know what the preacher said? You didn't have enough faith that it would be a boy. Friend, again, where's the faith in? No, it's faith in Christ. Faith in Jesus. Man, I guess my ear gained weight this weekend. First John 3 says this, 14 and 18. We know that we have passed out of death because we love the brethren. And what was like this whole idea of passing out of death? You've been passed out of death. You've come to know Christ. You've come to be born again. You've come to be delivered from eternal judgment. You've come to know Christ and have the Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you. He says, because you've passed out of death into life, you, and because we love the brethren, He who does not love abides in death.
See, love is an action. Love in action is, or love is faith in action. Verse 18 says, little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth.
But in deed and truth. 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him.
In other words, if we say we love God, if we say that we love Jesus, but we don't love one another, there's a problem there. There's a problem there.
James puts it this way, 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Their faith is expressed in the love for the saints. Now, how do we love one another?
Well, I think we do need to say I love you. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's not like the old farmer and his wife who had been married 25 years, and she says, you've never said you love me. He says, I told you I loved you when I married you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Well, we weren't the loving kind at home. We didn't say, I love you. We didn't say that growing up. So we need to verbalize it. But simple verbalizing those words does not validate or support actions unless it's supported by actions or by acts of love. How do we love one another? How often are you praying for each other?
Prayer, that's hard work.
Yeah, it is. Are you making a phone call here and there? And I'm speaking to myself here, okay? I'm speaking to myself here. Am I teaching them God's word? Am I teaching you God's word accurately so that you could grow spiritually and put it into action outside these doors and even inside these doors?
Loving one another, supporting each other.
And sometimes love has to be tough.
I said, hey, brother, you know, I noticed, you know, I remember when I was, these things were happening to me, and I kind of see them in you. You need to step it up a little, or you need to back off on that a little. Because correction is love too, right?
We don't like it.
Like, who are you telling me something?
Just because you're pastor doesn't make you God. Why are you telling me this stuff?
Just a warning. I see some red flags that I recognized in my life that I didn't honor or I didn't acknowledge. Or like
Nathan the prophet, when he approached David. He basically blindsided David with that story he gave him. Right? I'll let you search it out in the scripture on that one.
But faith and love, hand in hand. You can't have faith. You can't say you have faith if you don't have love for one another. Because that's what Paul noticed, and that's how the Ephesians were living. They lost their first love by the time, 30 years later. Because we figure Ephesians was written about 60, 65 AD, and Revelation was written around 90 AD. So within 30 years, one generation, they had lost their love for God. Friends, how do you love one another? What are you doing that's demonstrating?
Now, I don't need you to proclaim it from the mountaintop. I don't need you to come in bragging about it. I just need you to keep doing what you're doing and increase and improve that. So here's Paul saying, I heard about all this stuff way over here.
Who do you hear about that God?
And it was obviously wasn't the person who was doing it, right? It wasn't obviously the person, I showed a little love to James and I run over here to Paul. Hey, Paul, man, you should have seen me showing some love to James. Even though he's a Cowboy fan, I still loved him.
Huh? And a Ram fan.
No. People saw the love in action, got excited, and word started to spread. Word traveled. The story of a little boy in Chicago. He'd walking through the snow, not very well dressed for the cold, and passed by church after church. He finally gets to a church, and they ask him, so where's your coat? How far did you travel? How can you come here?
Why do you? There's other churches closer to your home that you can go to, so you don't have to suffer. He said, they love a little foul around here. Friends, do we make our kids feel welcome? Do we feel, make them feel loved? Do we engage them? When during our welcome time, I hope you're not just greeting the adult hands, but that you're greeting the little ones. You know, Oliver, Mateo, Levi. And I shouldn't have started because I'm not going to remember them all. Isaiah, Ezekiel, and all the little crumb snatchers there, or ankle biters as they call them. That's a cariño. That's a nice way of saying little ones. No insult here. So, true faith impacts people's lives. Okay? That's what the Ephesians were doing. Paul recognized that and noticed that. And it leads us to our second point, that praise-filled gratitude is offered to the Lord. Because of that, praise-filled gratitude is offered to the Lord. Oh, I forgot to change the PowerPoint. Inspiration came to me this morning. Grateful to the Lord for his workers. Works just as well. Okay. Are you grateful for the people who've poured into your lives? Are you grateful for the people you see pouring into other people's lives? I hope you've noticed that Victoria hasn't been at the door. She's been struggling with that hip replacement again. There was no infection, but she's still having some struggles with the second hip that they put in. But are you grateful when you walk in? Thank you, Jesus, for these women who are cooking. Thank you for the people who are working behind the scenes, who clean the place, who, you know, paint the place, who make the place look and smell good. Thank you, Jesus, for the children's workers. Thank you, Jesus, for those who are worshiping, the part of the worship team. Thank you, Jesus, for those who come to our church. Thank you for those who are working in ways that I'm not aware of, that are working behind the scenes. Are we grateful for workers, for the Lord, to the Lord, for the workers that he sends? Thank you, Lord, for the person who shared the gospel with me. How grateful are we for the people that are doing the work of the Lord? Because look what he says here in verse 16. He says, and I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. He's saying, man, the work you guys are doing, man, it's exciting and I'm filled with joy because of it. I'm just grateful that I get to hear about it. Now think about this. He's in prison. He's not busy because he's sharing the gospel with the Praetorian Guard and with all the other soldiers. He's sharing it with the neighboring, what do you call those guys? Prisoners. He's sharing the gospel there. But man, isn't it great when you can hear back and saying, I preached there a couple years. I'm just so grateful that they got it, and they're doing it. Friends, have you gotten it, and are you doing it? Loving your neighbor, growing in faith, growing stronger in your faith? Because now remember, God has given you the faith that you need. God, in fact, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit, love. These are God-given gifts. So don't tell me you didn't have enough money to buy it. Don't tell me you're not spiritual enough to get it. Don't tell me you're not, you know, it's there. Are you hungry enough to apply it in your life? Are we ready to use it for His glory? Nah, I'm glad I'm saved. Friends, praise-filled gratitude needs to be offered. You know, praise-filled gratitude needs to be offered as we sing on Sunday mornings. Do you realize who we're singing to? And we talked about this a couple months ago on Wednesday night, that when we sing, we're ministering to one another. Because somebody might be in the church that morning hearing you sing, who needs a word of encouragement, who can't even mouth the words because there's so much heartache and pain inside. And you know what? We're really good at hiding that, aren't we? We can wear our Sunday face and put our Sunday smile and our Sunday makeup on. And I'm not just talking about the women with physical makeup. We put that makeup on, that we make our face look like everything is fine, but really it's not. Friends, when we're singing, when we're ministering. And I know a lot is said today with all these competitions, American Idol, The Voice, and America's Got Talent, that they're looking for the best and the brightest. Well, friends, that's not what the church is looking for. The church is looking for a heart, people of heart, people who have a heart for God and who are ready to cry out in prayer or sing out in praise, regardless of our ability, in spite of our tone deaf, out of rhythm. We were at a conference with a lot of church leaders who, majority of them happened to have rhythm, and they were clapping, you know, and I'm not even trying. Seriously, that's what it sounds like when everybody's clapping in rhythm. So it's a one-time-a-year event that I get to hear everybody clapping in rhythm. But friends, whether we clap in rhythm or not, what's our heart saying? What is our heart saying? I love God, and I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm here to do ministry to them and with them. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for how God has gifted each and every one of us to do a little part of the ministry. If you read in Corinthians, it says that some parts of the body have a very visible presence, while others are working behind the scenes, out of sight, yet they all have a part and a place. Dominic had a little valve that was leaking. You never would have seen the valve leaking. You never would have even heard the valve leaking. But there was evidence that the valve was leaking because he was getting tired and he was slowing down. There were symptoms. Friends, even though you may not have a visible spiritual giftedness that is very visible, nonetheless, it's important. And we do that for God's glory. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5 says this: I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering with prayer, with joy in every place for you. Offering prayer with joy. How often do you pray with joy? Are you mumbling and grumbling and complaining when you pray? He says, joy in every prayer for you all in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul wrote Philippians from jail. And yet he could pray with joy as he heard the words from that the Philippians were participating together in the gospel ministry. Friends, do we have that sense of joy? He tells the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we give thanks to God the Father our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. I don't know. I guess I would like to have been in the same room when Paul was praying. He must have been excited. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But see, most of us would be content to stop right there. Well, man, I heard some good words. Our faith is at work. We're loving the saints. Paul's grateful for what God is doing in and through us. Man, now it's time to take a break. Let's rest. But Paul says, uh-uh. And I don't think I have number 3 right on the screen either. Go ahead and put number 3 up. Yeah, I messed up with the presentation. Prayer for their continual growth in the Lord is what I originally had. But what's in your notes on the bulletin is this: press on in knowing and becoming like Jesus. Press on in knowing and becoming like Jesus, okay? It's not a time to rest. It's not a time to get your applause and say, good job, and go off on vacation. No, this is, look what Paul prays for. He says that verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. He says you need to keep growing. Keep going.
Keep moving closer to Christ. Become more and more like Him. Because sometimes we rest on, as an old saying, rest on our laurels. Or rest in the victories of past. And I've walked into old church buildings. And you can almost smell or hear what they used to be and what they no longer are. Walked into a facility out in Highland Park that was for sale. Sanctuary was probably twice the size of this. And I think the church had grown to only 8 people. And you can almost sense that. We used to, by the pictures on the wall and the different things that you could see, their history. Friends, I don't want that to be Pico Rivera Bible Church. I don't want this to be an abandoned building. I don't want this to be dust-filled, pigeon poop everywhere. I want us to continue forth in the gospel. Whoever takes my place, whoever continues on with the preaching of the Word of God here, the saints that are growing and maturing and developing, that you're raising your kids up, that the church and the ministry and the participation in the gospel may continue. Press on in knowing and becoming like Jesus. Don't settle. Don't get into a rut. Don't get comfortable. Don't get in the lazy boy chair. Pray that God will continue to help you grow. Now, this isn't saying that they didn't know Jesus, but that they would know Him more in an experiential way, not in the accumulation of more knowledge only, but also in the practice and experience of being Christ-like. Of following through with how would Christ do this, you know, or how did Jesus do this, you know, not just what would Jesus do, but how did Jesus do this? How did Jesus treat the poor? How did Jesus treat those sinners? How did Jesus treat the woman at the well, or the woman caught in adultery, or Zacchaeus, the rich guy? How did Jesus? Growth is an ongoing process, friends. You know, sometimes I hear. Those who are, I was going to say seniors, but I'll be 62 this year. In case you want to know, July 25th. Just in case you needed to know that. I'm over here joking and I forgot where I was at. That was a senior moment right now. I hear seniors say, you know, I put in my time. It's time for the younger generation to go. You know what Titus says? Older women teach the younger women. Older men, get it going with the younger men. You know, get them out there, show them, teach them, train them, walk with them, show them, enable them to do it, and then walk with them on that. That's what the ministry is. But a lot of times, we focus on the how-tos of that instead of the whys. This is why we do this. This is why we do that. This is what we need as a foundation. Only a fool builds a building without a foundation. You need a solid foundation, especially here in California. And those foundational truths are God and God and God. Found your life on God Himself. Again, 2 Peter 1 tells us that He's given to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. I think this is good enough for us to go there. Really good. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 1. Finally, brethren, we request and exhort in the Lord, you in the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk. See, He's not saying you guys are in bad shape. He's saying, look, we've instructed you to walk this way. You're walking that way. Then He says, you excel still more. You grow still more. You dig more into the Scriptures. You draw deeper into the well, that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Notice that, friends? He's like saying it to us. He said, look, you guys have been instructed in the Word. And you're walking pretty good, but keep going. Get better. Improve. It's obvious that I haven't been riding my bike around. It's only, you notice it because I'm limping a lot. My knee's been bothering me. That's the only way you know. But I haven't been riding much, but one of the things they do to help you get faster, there's sprints. There's different types of exercise to get faster. You know what? I try them, and it's hard. It's hard work to get a little faster, to get a little bit better, to get a little stronger. But friends, we're not going to get stronger. We're not going to get faster. We're not going to get better simply sitting around. Oh, close your ears, sir. I don't need you to hear that. Stop watching the reruns. Stop. Get up off the couch sometimes. Shh, got your ears plugged? John, I don't know if you know who John MacArthur is. He says, my wife expects me to live out and practice everything I preach all the time. Well, I guess we should, shouldn't we? Does Keenan do that to you, Al? he said a thumbs up. He's not making anything verbal. All right, verse 9. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Isn't that a great testimony? You have been taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. Not just those in your little clique. Not just those in your little gathering. But to all those. And Macedonia wasn't just like a small little town like Pico Rivera. Okay. All Macedonia, the whole region, are we open and ready and available to minister to and with people in the region? That you have a love and a desire for their best. That you do practice toward all the brethren in Macedonia. But look at the but. We urge you, brethren, to excel still more. Don't get comfortable, is what he's saying. Don't get comfortable. Don't get warm. I remember years ago, I was working graveyard. So I'd get out. It was 7, and it went to 6 a.m. I'd get out in the morning, and Steve Valencia and I would go to the church, and we'd do some work. And I had to keep working until we got the job done, not when my stomach was saying I should stop and eat. Because the minute I stopped to eat, guess what was going to happen? I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't going to do anything else. It was done. My day was over. And so I would just push past that. And I know poor Steve, he wasn't. I didn't eat because I wasn't hungry. It was just because I knew I wasn't going to have any more. It was another time we drove up to, we were on our way to Seattle. And I was trying to get to Portland. We made it to, what's the first big city? Medford, off the 5. First big city in Portland. We sat down at a diner. You know the diner with the shiny vinyl seats? Man, I almost slid off it. I was so tired. I said, babe, we're not going to Portland. We're going to stop here and we're going to go get a room. And I was done. Friends, even when we feel like we're done, well, there's still more in there. There's still more in the gas tank. But let us work to excel. Let us push. Move forward. Let us not get short-sighted as to what God would have us. The story, this is our story, isn't it? The story of each and every one of us. A working faith, a grateful heart, and a Christ-like life. Let me take a survey. I need you to be honest with me, okay? Remember, we're in church. How many of you like to drive on fumes in your car? When you're down to E. Okay, we got another one over there. We got some more people admitting. Okay. On fumes, our spiritual life on fumes. When God has promised a blessing, like the fumes, we like that adrenaline rush. We like that, I'm going to have 30 more miles to go. and I will prove it to you. Is my wife? Let's stop living on fumes. Are we tapping into them for His glory? Father, this morning, Father, and yes, even in our love for our enemies, Father, and Lord, we are here together for the sake of the gospel. Help us now, Father, to take those steps of faith that we would have a grateful heart as we become more like Christ. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.